Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Everybody stand to your feet. Sisters, praise the Lord. Sisters never disappoint me. They don't disappoint. Brothers, say, brothers, praise the Lord. Can't you see a difference? Everybody, praise the Lord. Father, we thank you. We worship you. For 10 years of faithfulness, you will never fail. It's so nice to trust you. It's the height of pleasure to call you Father. Father, we thank you for the fortune of grace, fortune of tender mercies that we enjoy. Father, we celebrate you today. We confess there is no other God beside you. You are the self-existent God. You are God by yourself. When we listen to you, we are blessed. And thank you, Lord, for this ministry. They are just starting. The best is yet to come. Father, we thank you for the pillar of fire by night, the cloud of glory by day. You don't abandon your people. You have promised, I will never leave you nor forsake you. In your promise, we thrive. In your promise, Lord, we flaunt your grace, your beauty, and Lord, we show that the Lord is good. Father, we celebrate you today. Come and wave your hands to the Lord. Say something wonderful to him. Bless his holy name for his goodness, for his great name, for his consistency. He can never fail. He never, loses his power. He remains the same, infinitely powerful and infinitely good. Father, we bless you. Take the glory, Father. In Jesus' almighty name we pray. Praise the Lord. You may be seated. God bless you. I congratulate my bosom friend and his beautiful wife, Professor and Professor Ayobami and Shola Salami, the Awotoyes, the pastorate, the members of the church, and our guest for today. It's good to obey the Lord, and it's good to follow him. Today is an example of that. And I will keep my message very brief, amen. But this timing is lying on me. I was told I have 1 hour, not 48 minutes. So whether you like it or not, I will take 1 hour. Okay. Praise the Lord. I flew 15 hours to get here from Rochester, United States. I will take my own pound of flesh. Get ready for me. Okay. Amen. Praise the Lord. Oh, lest I forget, there is somebody here, you had a dream that you were tied down like a goat. So today you'll be delivered. If I forget, please somebody remind me. Last night I forgot to mention a case. There was a twin person. You lost your twin brother or sister. And the Lord wanted me to pray for you because your life is also being threatened from the spirit realm. I forgot that. So I'm saying this ahead so that I will not forget anything. Hallelujah. When I want to speak on the topic, Bethel Insurance. Can we all say that? It is not a company. So I'm referring to the Bethel we've been discussing. And folks, you remember that my first message was before Bethel. And we discussed the liabilities Jacob inherited and acquired that militated against him, that slowed him down, that could have derailed his destiny. And yesterday evening, we discussed Bethel. It was a place The Lord recalibrated Jacob by giving him an encounter he would need for the journey. So the Jacob that left Bethel was not the Jacob that left his parents in Paddan Aram. By the time he got to, in Beersheba, by the time he got to Paddan Aram, he was a different Jacob. And we also saw what he did, a very intelligent thing he did to turn God's promises into a covenant relationship, okay, to ensure that these promises will not fail. How did he enjoy the insurance he got with the Lord? How, did he overcome all his troubles? How did God, protected him? Folks, it is very, very difficult, very, very dangerous to oppress somebody who has a covenant with the Lord, a personal covenant with the Lord. You don't cheat them and get away. You don't, just mishandle them. Jacob became a very dangerous person, but Laban did not know it. Amen. So, number one, God has a way of getting back to those who mistreat his children and get everything they desire from them. You will remember God promised Israel in Genesis, he promised Abraham in Genesis 15, verse 13 to 14. He said, your children will be enslaved for 400 years. That's verse 13. Verse 14 says, and also the nation whom they serve, I will judge. Everybody say, I will judge. Afterward, they shall come out with great possessions. It happened. We'll talk about that later. So, the blessing began to speak in the life of Jacob. Everybody say, blessings speak. Say it again. One more time. When you are blessed, that blessing will speak. You cannot silence it. You understand? And today we misdescribe blessing. When you say, look at my house, look at my cars, God has blessed me. That's not blessing. That's the evidence of blessing. Because if they take everything you have from you, the blessing will reproduce it. Am I talking to you? So the blessing is something that is a dynamo. It keeps, reproducing, regenerating those things that come by blessing. So you cannot take anything that comes by blessing away from me. I will get them back in no time. Because blessing, we just supply them. Vam. Then I'm blessed. It was a time I felt I have too many clothes, too many shoes, so I gave them out. Within a few times, it's like double. Everybody just started giving me pam, 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 pam. Then I recognize I can't reduce them. I can just keep maintaining this. I can't get rid of them. Praise the Lord. Because they came by blessing. Praise the Lord. So blessing begin to speak in the life of Jacob. He's been cheated for 20 years. We've gone through, all those, he served 7 years for Rachel, he got Leah, then another 7 years, then he served for, 6 more years. By the time it was 20 years of, struggle, he demanded to leave. In Genesis 30, please write them down. We can't be reading scriptures. I will be telling you only very important aspect. So he demanded to leave. Genesis 30, verses 25 to 33. You understand? Genesis 30, 25 to 33. Jacob demanded to leave Laban. In verse 27, Laban said, you can't leave me. I have found by experience. Some other translation said, by divination, that the Lord has blessed me because of you. Why will I let you go? No, you're going nowhere. Okay, let's talk about your salary. Let's increase it. What do you want? You going nowhere. Praise the Lord. It's okay. So in verse 33, Jacob said, any animal with a speckled or spotted skin among the goats and brown skin among the lamb, let it be my wage. And Laban was surprised. Are you stupid? He might have been thinking. You hardly get goat with speckled or spotted skin, or a lamb with brown skin. Say, oh, you are an idiot. He was very happy with the deal, but he did not know that there is something behind it. This guy had a personal covenant with the Lord, which is the basis for personal revelation. He was talking by revelation, but he did not know it. Amen. Then what is the personal revelation he had? Genesis chapter 30, verses 37 to 43. Okay. In there, after the agreement, Laban removed all the speckle, the spotted skin, the brand skin, you know, lamb. He removed everything. And Jacob did something that is stupid, scientifically speaking, something that will not work for you, but it worked for him, because that is personal revelation for him, how God wants to deliver him. Now listen, everybody struggling, that is a personal revelation for you. There is something you can do that will set you free completely from the spirit realm. God has an answer to all your problems. Okay? So he took, you know, he cut some rods, some branches. If you read Genesis 30, verse 37, okay? Green poplar branches, green almond branches, green chestnut branches. He peeled white stripes in them and exposed the white which was in the rods. So there is the pattern of green, white, green on the rod. Whose flag is that today? You know, the devil cannot defeat this country. You understand? The devil cannot defeat us. What we are doing may be stupid, but I promise you, amen, by the time we see the result, everybody will say, wow. That's what is going to happen. But let's leave that. Amen. I don't want any politician to clap, so let me quickly leave that. Glory to the Lord. Anyway, if you read that passage, Genesis 30, verse 37 to 43, anytime the strong animals are mating, you put the rod in front, and by the time they give birth, it will be speckled, ring straight, or spotted. It was like a joke. Look at verse 43. Verse 43 of Genesis 30. Can you project verse 43? I want everybody to stand up and read it. This is so sweet. This is so nice. And as you read it, you prophesy it to your life. Genesis 30 verse 43. Project it quickly. Somebody in there. Okay, open your Bible. If it is not being projected, open it and read it. One, two, go. Okay, stop, stop. Sisters, you will read it. Sisters alone. One, two, go. You may be seated. God bless you. Look at what happened. Thus the man became exceedingly prosperous and had large flocks, female and male servants, and camels and donkeys. There was a man who told Laban, when will I begin to provide for my house? I had nothing. But because God gave him this personal revelation, you understand, he took over the properties of his wicked uncle and father-in-law. Now, after this, God instructed Jacob to go home. Who told him to go home? You see that in Genesis 31, verses 1 to 3. Genesis 31, verses 1 to 3. The children, the sons of Laban, began to complain. Hey, Jacob has taken everything that belonged to our father. And even Laban himself, his attitude changed towards Jacob. You know, it was not as favorable again. So, in verse 3, Genesis 31, verse 3, the Bible says, then the Lord said to Jacob, return to the land of your fathers and to your family, and I will be with you. Return home, and I will be with you. That was the basis of going back. Okay? God told him, go, I am with you. Who will kill you when God says, go, I'm with you, and you comply? Nobody. So, he started to go home, but he needed the cooperation of his wives. So he explained the revelation. Thank God he did. The personal revelation was explained. When you read Genesis 31, verse 6 to 13, you understand? He told his wives, your father changed my wages 10 times. 10 times he changed my wages. And he explained that one day an angel of the Lord appeared to him. Okay. And he said, from verse 10, okay, he explained it. 11, he said, the angel of God spoke to him in a dream, saying, Jacob. And I said, here I am. He said, lift up your eyes now and see the rams which leap on the flocks are streaked. Okay? Speckled and gray spotted, for I have seen all that Laban is doing to you. I want you to know that God is looking at everything the oppressor is doing to you. Amen. So verse 13 say, I am the God of Bethel. It's so nice for Jacob to hear that. I am the God of Bethel, where you anointed the pillar and where you made a vow to me. Now arise, get out of this land, and return to the land of your family. You now see, what made God to take this action? The vow, the pillar, the worship. God has turned a promise into a covenant relationship. God said, I'm a covenant-keeping God. I am the God of Bethel. I have decided to deliver you. Now, compare what happened to Jacob to how Israel left Egypt. In Exodus chapter 3, verse 21 to 22, he just said to Moses, okay, tell the Israelites to ask their Egyptian neighbors, articles of gold, jewelries, all those expensive stuff. I will grant them favor. They will deliver all those things to them, and by so doing, they will plunder. Everybody say plunder. That's a war term. You can plunder by grace. And they will plunder Egypt. That is how God delivered the wealth of Egypt to the Jews, is by asking. Okay, that of Jacob is by just doing something that looks silly. And the Lord did it. Now, he left. The Lord began to protect Jacob. Okay, he protected him from Laban and he protected him from Esau. In Genesis 31, if you read verse 22 to 42, okay, you see how Laban started pursuing him because Jacob stole away, did not tell him. And in verse 24, Laban himself said, but God had come to Laban, okay, the Syrian, in a dream, dream by night and said to him, be careful that you speak to Jacob neither good nor bad. God warned him. Don't lay a hand. Don't say good, don't say bad. I'm warning you. The day somebody threatens you, may the Lord appear. You're the sign and warn them. Amen. May the Lord did that. There was a man of God called the Reverend Umar Upai. He told the story of how his neighbor went to meet the landlord and said, how much is he paying you? Say this, and I will pay you maybe double. Eject him out. So, and the landlord called him and said, I want you out of your house. And Umar said, I told him, I will tell the person who put me here. The guy said, who put you here? He said, it's God. God put you in my house. Do you think I'm joking with you? He said, I'm not joking with you either. You understand? So he said, he told his family, nobody will eat from the child to the adult. That day, no food, no drink. They fasted and they prayed. Amen. A few days later, howling in the morning, his neighbor knocked the door and said, please stop your juju against me. I have moved out of this house. There is no pain there. I'm going. Please, let it stop here. Say, what did you see? He said, my wife, my children, and myself, my wife, we had the same dream. And all their children, the same dream. One night, the same night. He said he had a voice. He saw, I think, six coffins. And the voice said to him, I am the Lord God Almighty. If you don't move out of this apartment, I will bury you, your wife, and your children in this coffin. You are having a dream now. When you wake up, pack your load and move out. He woke up and said, what a terrible dream. The wife said the same thing. The children said that in one night. He just went and hired a truck. You understand? And moved all his property out. Am I speaking to somebody? And when he moved out, Reverend Umar said he went to the landlord and said, I need extra place. I want to rent the room, the apartment of my neighbor. That's when the landlord said, is something wrong with the two of you? He came to me that as we eject you, he offered more money. That he want to rent your apartment. Here you come. And you say you want to rent his apartment. The two of you, what's wrong with you? He said he told him, but he has moved out. Are you crazy? Yeah. No. He's moved out. The man rushed there. And that's how Umar annexed his own apartment to his own. Lift up your hand and say, God is still defending his children. And the day I need God to defend me, he will do it. He promised to. Hallelujah. Look at verse 29 of Genesis 31. Look at what Laban said. He said, it is in my power to do you harm. But the God of your father spoke to me last night, saying, be careful that you speak to Jacob neither good nor bad. Because he knew God can strike him dead. You understand? And verse 42, Jacob says, unless the God of my father, the God of Abraham, and the fear of Isaac had been with me, surely now you will have sent me away empty-handed. God has seen my affliction and the labor of my hands and rebuked you last night. Okay? Now, let me ask you a question. Can you imagine Jacob without the encounter in Bethel? Without the encounter in Bethel, can you just imagine what will happen to him in Padan Aram? Okay? Because this wicked uncle and father-in-law will have overwhelmed him. He will have wasted his life working for peanuts. But Bethel Insurance worked for him. Amen. Let's quickly look at how the Lord protected him against Esau. Okay? Now, God upgraded Jacob before he met Laban. He had to upgrade him before meeting his deeply offended and bitter brother called Esau. He had offended Esau. He bought the birthright and he stole his blessing. And the guy said, I will kill him. That's why he ran away. Then he was coming to meet him. So God has to prepare him to meet Esau. Okay? And in particular, I want you to know that household enemies requires grace. Okay? When your father is against you, you know, and I've handled so many cases. A man that his father was an herbalist, a witch doctor, and the man was attacking his son seriously, or your mom is a witch. That's not easy to handle. You understand? Somebody came to me, I was ministering in DC, and he was a wife of one of the richest men in Nigeria when her husband was alive. And she said to me, look, all the family know that I have money, but each time I send money to my mom, I will lose my job. Say, it has happened not once, not twice, not three times, not four times. He said, the last time I sent money to her, I lost a very good job, you know, not far from home, no stress, good money. Say, I lost it. Reverend, what can I do? So when you handle household enemies, it requires extra grace. How do you fight your father and win? How do you fight your mom and win? Am I talking to you? The Bible says you are the fruit of their body. You can't dissociate yourself in the spirit realm. So how do you fight your brother that you have offended, that is angry with you? Okay? And as at this time, Esau was still physically stronger than Jacob. Okay, so what must be done? In Genesis 32, verse 1 to 2, God gave him a grace. He renewed him in the spirit. In verse 1 to 2 of Genesis 32, he met angels. Okay, many, many angels. When Jacob saw them, he said, this is God's camp. And he called the name of that place Mahanaim. Okay? Now, he has called somewhere the house of God. He cannot say this is house of God again. So he said this is God's camp. Where he camps is angels. It's a preparation. Because if you look at Genesis 32, verse 6 to 12, something remarkable, you know, happened. He sent message to Esau, to beg him, your servant is coming, blah, 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 blah. And the guy said, okay, I'm coming to meet him with 400 men. Why? He's coming to fight. That's not how to welcome people in those days. You don't come and meet your brother that offended you and ran away with 400 men. Come on. So Jacob knew this is trouble. Verse 7, okay, of Genesis 32. Jacob was greatly afraid and distressed. He started dividing his property and his children. You understand? So that if Esau killed the first, drove, the rest can escape. Verse 9, then Jacob said, O God of my father Abraham, and God of my father Isaac. Now listen to his prayer. The Lord who said to me, return to your country and to your family, and I will deal well with you. Do you see the prayer? God, you are the one who asked me to return. Can you say that in your marriage? Can you say that in your job? Can you say that where you are living right now? Can you pray to God and say, God who asked me to marry Rachel, God who asked me to marry Jacob, can you say that? That's why it is good to be obedient to the Lord. But because the day trouble comes, you'll be able to say, Lord, you asked me to do this, and you promised me, rescue me now. That's why the people say, why do you need to pray before you marry? I said, because of the day you will run into trouble and you will need God to rescue you. You understand? If you just please yourself, you can, you know, Jesus said in the Lord's Prayer, lead us not into temptation, deliver us from trouble. They are not the same thing. Lead us not into temptation, that's the good part to pray. By the time you have to pray, deliver me from trouble, you are already in the ditch. Do you recognize that? Amen. So that you can only pray, Lord, lead me not into temptation. That's why you need to involve him in your life. Otherwise, you will always have to pray, you understand, deliver me from evil. I think I'm talking to somebody. So he reminded God, you asked me to return to my father's house. Now this guy is coming to meet me with 400 men. But you have said you will be with me. Verse 10, he confessed he was nobody. The Lord made him. You understand? And verse 11, he asked God to deliver, you know, him. He said, because he is afraid of Esau. And verse 12, he says something again, very nice. For you have said, I will surely treat you well and make your descendants as the sand of the sea, which cannot be numbered for multitudes. God said that to him in Bethel. So my question today is, in the current trouble you find yourself, what is your pedigree? What is your reference? You understand? That does not mean the Lord will not deliver you, but it's a lesson for you to make sure you live your life loyally henceforth. Praise the Lord. Now, Jacob tried to appease Esau by sending, arranging fantastic, you know, gifts for him. You see that in verses 13 to 21 of Genesis 32. A lot of, you know, animals. I don't have time to read it. Okay. There's a lesson there, folks. Gifts softens the heart. Praise the Lord. You should buy your enemy some of the best gifts. There was a pastor that is being criticized by another pastor all the time. You understand? Everything he says, he will come and tear it to pieces. It's as if he had the ministry of antagonism. Ministry of opposition. The man of God was praying, what can I do? God said, buy him a good gift. He discovered his shoe size and bought him a very expensive shoe, pair of shoes, and sent it to him. That was the last time he criticized them. Praise the Lord. Now, Jacob entered into an all-important encounter of his life. The very first time God appeared to him was in Bethel. Amen. This is the second time God will appear to him. He changed the game. It was a game changer. Genesis 32 verses 24 to 31. Okay. Verse 24. Genesis 32. Jacob was left alone and a man wrestled with him. Okay. When the day was breaking, the man begged him. The man first touched the socket of his hip and it was dislocated. And that was very painful. But Jacob was very stubborn. He would not let him go. Let me go. I've injured you. He said, no. He said, you will not go except you blessed me. I talked about this before. Jacob had serious revelation on blessings. He bought it birthright. Okay? He stole it. Now he's begging for it. Can you see? He knew the power of blessing. The power of blessing. I always tell, you know, people, you know, congregation members, try to collect, you know, buy gift. You understand? And give it to your pastor. Ask him to bless you. Even your dad. I have a son like that. I will just be working in my office. He will just bring coffee. Say, Dad, I know it's very cold. You will need a cup of coffee. Say, it shall be well with you. How blessing. You understand? He kept surprising me things. He would just come, a blessing. He would come, a blessing. I tell you, if you know the secret of blessing, you have to provoke blessing. Every opportunity, it doesn't have to be something expensive. A cup of coffee is my coffee. Everything in that cup is mine. Am I talking to you? He just boiled the water, mixed them, put honey, nail my taste, how I would like it, and bring it to me. And I'll be very happy from within. And I quickly bless him. And anybody that carried me from the airport, a program like this, I always want to bless them. Once you do something that makes me happy, I quickly release it. You understand? Because I know how blessing works. Isaac to Esau, go kill a game. Make it well, the way you know I love it. So that when I eat it, you understand? You know, my spirit can bless you. Blessing is the opposite of a curse. A curse is a punishment. A blessing is a reward. Am I talking to somebody? So that's how you provoke, you know, blessing. So, anyway, he begged for blessing. And when he said, I won't let you go except you bless me, verse 27, he asked him, what is your name? Jacob, you are a supplanter. Supplanter. Your name will no longer be supplanter. From today, your name is Israel. For you have struggled with God and with men and have prevailed. That is the person Esau is coming to meet. He's not the Jacob that left home or that left Padan Aram. You understand? This guy has struggled with men, even with God, and God did let him prevail. You understand? That is the guy Esau is coming to meet. He thought he will meet Jacob. He met Israel, the prince of God himself. So, Jacob, I love him. He always named every iconic aspect, you know, of his life. So, Jacob called the name of the place Peniel. That's verse 30. Say, for I have seen God face to face, and my life is preserved. Let me see who will now kill me. Praise the Lord. So he crossed, you know, the river. Now finally Esau met him. And this is where we're going. Hallelujah. Genesis 33, verse 1 to 11. Now Jacob lifted his eyes and looked, and there Esau was coming, and with him were 400 men. Were they armed? Of course, you don't pass through the jungle without being armed in those days. You are fully armed with your weapon. They were fully armed. Nobody needs to tell you. You understand? So he divided the children among Leah, Rachel, and the two maid servants. And he put the maid servant, you know, he put the children of the servant in the front, the children of his real two wives behind them. You understand? And the servants were with the children. You understand? If they kill the children of the servant, the children of the real wives will escape with me. I don't know how those kids will feel to know what Jacob did to their mom and to them. Anyway, he couldn't endure it. Okay, he couldn't endure it. Verse 3. He himself ran in front of them. That's the spirit of a father. You know, when he saw with 400 men, I remember, but these are also my children. These are also my, you know, these women have children for me. He ran in front of them. The game changed. Praise the Lord. You know, emotion, you know, overtook him. So the Bible says in verse 4, everybody, I want us to read verse 4. Stand to your feet and read it. And we were told human beings learn better when they stand up. In fact, there is a school in the U.S. They don't provide chairs. And yes, they report changed. Those children became more brilliant. You know, that's another result they did. The punishment they used to give us, when they say, hold your feet and bend down, it increases your memory. Yes, increases your memory. You better start doing it. They think they were punishing us. You understand? Just hold your ears and bend down. These are research already carried, I'm telling you. You understand? Amen. I don't know. You grip your earlobes, bend down, come up, bend down, come up, and your memory improves. So I want you to remember. That's why I ask you to stand up. Everybody read it. One, two, go. Read it one more time. May this happen to everybody that want to kill you. Everybody that has determined to remove you, when they see you, the grace is so much. They cry. They hug you. Give you a welcome kiss. This is so beautiful. This is not Jacob. This was Israel, a prince of God. There is the oral of God around them. Sit down. Sit down. There is something called the oral of God. Amen. My wife and I, we went to a store, big store in America, J.C. Penney. And we were about to pay for the item we took. And there is this cashier, white lady. He says, sir, are you a man of God? I say, yes. He said, there is a great peace about you. He said, oh my goodness. He said, I feel great peace in your presence. I say, yeah, yeah, praise the Lord. There is something about you when you carry grace. You understand? I have met people have given me money that don't know me. I just be going and say, hey, sir, you know, please take this money. I say, why do you know me? He say, I don't know you. Why are you giving me something? Say, I know you are a man of God. I'm telling you the truth. You understand? So there is something called the oral of God around his children. Look at verse 11. He said, please take my blessing that is brought to you. He persuaded them and he took, you know, it. This is the summary of Jacob's life. It's captured in Psalm 50, okay, verses 5 and 6. Psalm 50, verses 5 and 6. Everybody read it. One, two, go. Read it again. How do you make a covenant with the Lord? How? Answer me. How? How? Yell it. Move to verse 15 and 14 of the same chapter, Psalm 50. No, verses 14 and 15. Quickly, quickly. Now, one, two, go. Read that one more time. It's a biblical practice. If you have the habit of giving things, gifts to God, you understand? When the day of trouble comes and you pray, it is God's habit to listen. I told you last night how Ora Robert enjoyed that with the Lord. He said he always give God a gift ahead of the day of trouble and say, Lord, I don't know the trouble I will face tomorrow. I'm giving you this gift that when I call on you on the day of trouble, you will listen. The Bible says, may the Lord listen to you in the day of trouble. That means it's not everybody God listens to in the day of trouble. Let's face fact. You understand? We've seen terrible things happen to some men and women of God. Am I talking to you? So, Ora Robert had kidney stone. I told you last night. And they put him on the stretcher, and they were taking him to the theater. He said he remembered he gave God $500 that he was yet to cash. He said, "Hey, God, I want to cash my $500 now. I've given you a gift against today. I don't want to do this operation." When they got to the theater and they examined him, there was no kidney stone. He walked away free from there. Stand to your feet. I will have no time to take questions. If you have questions, ask your pastor. If he doesn't answer it the way you like, good luck. Yes, I don't have enough time. So that's my fight back. That's how I get back at you. No question. Praise the Lord. Oh dear. Father, we thank you. Hallelujah. Father, when you begin to bless the name of the Lord, begin to bless the name of the Lord, begin to say something wonderful to his name, because the Lord is good, the Lord is kind. He prepares his children ahead of their troubles. He blesses us, gives us revelation, he gives instruction. He does not abandon his children. God, he never creates and abandon any creature. In the day you face your Goliath, he will strengthen you. If you have walked with him, if you have walked with him, no problem will swallow you. No, no way. No problem will swallow you. Father, well, thank you. Come and worship the Lord. Hallelujah. Worship the Lord and bless his name. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord. In Jesus' almighty name we pray. Now listen, many prophets were killed, brutally killed in Israel. The great Isaiah the prophet, that was a heck of a prophet. He wrote the obituary of Jesus Christ in Isaiah 53. In fact, he started from the latter part of 52. He wrote his obituary, okay, several hundred years before he was born. That was, do you know how they killed him? Manasseh made a cavity in the tree, tucked him inside, and saw Isaiah with the tree. A very painful death. That's how Isaiah died. But look at the guy called Elijah. He was appearing and disappearing. He has the anointing to call down fire and to call down the rain. You understand? Both rain and fire, he called them down. You know, the hand of the Lord came on his head, and God redeemed his time. He had to run the chariots of Ahab. Okay? He got to Jezreel ahead of the king. So, there is something called grace, folks. There is something called grace. The Bible says we cannot live in sin and ask grace to abound. That's what the Bible says. What does that tell you? It tells you that when you walk with the Lord, be a good boy, be a good girl to the Lord. Obey him. Be fond of him. Always doing things in the fear of the Lord, so that grace can increase. Because if you carry uncommon grace, you will swallow any problem. I tell you, in the day of trouble, you sneeze like this, angels will appear. There are people God treats that way. You understand? He does not allow anybody to mess up with them. Why? They have grown in grace. The Bible says we should grow in grace. So begin to pray today and say, "Father, help me to grow in grace, to behave myself in the mighty name of Jesus Christ." Father, well, thank you. Come and begin to pray. Begin to pray. Father, defend me like Jacob. Do not let any situation overpower me in the mighty name of Jesus Christ. With every situation, Father, show up in my life. Appear to my enemies and warn them. Deliver me. There is a way God defended David. Somebody laughed at him. Nabal, you remember? A few days later, God killed him. So, when you carry grace, you become dangerous. Father, let me be too dangerous for the devil. Let me be too dangerous for my enemies. Prepare me, strengthen me in the mighty name of Jesus Christ. In Jesus' name we pray. Open your eyes. Let's talk about personal revelation. Everybody know Pastor Iye Adeboye, right? He said he gave his life to Christ as a postgraduate student. And for his thesis, they gave him an equation nobody has ever solved. So as a young convert, he went to God and said, "Father, nobody has ever solved this equation." And the Lord asked him, "What did I do to the Red Sea?" He said, "You parted it into two." He said, "Divide that equation into two." And he solved it. That is the power of personal revelation. Let me give you one more, because I want to provoke you. I want you to pray very well. Very, very well. Praise the Lord. A brother wanted to marry. And the father-in-law said, "You have no job. You want to marry my daughter. My daughter will be feeding you. I agree to this wedding, but it will not happen until you get a job." So he went to the Lord. And the Lord showed him that he was making popcorn. Everybody say popcorn. This is Nigeria, Lagos. And God said, "Be making popcorn." I said, "God, popcorn? How much will I get about it?" He shared the testimony, the vision with a brother who has an office in VI. That one said, "Let's obey the Lord. I will allow you to be selling popcorn in front of my office in VI. So he started popcorn. True life story, I'm telling you. It's as if people have never eaten popcorn. During break, they form a queue, a line, in front of him. Everybody was buying popcorn, popcorn. He made so much money, the father-in-law allowed him to marry his daughter. And he made money, he relocated abroad. True life story, popcorn. Okay? Let me give you one more. Let me give you one more. There is a man, you understand? I know his pastor. So I know his pastor. What I'm saying, I know his pastor. So it's a story I know. A man of God called him, said, "What are you doing here in Europe? The Lord wants to bless you in Nigeria. Go back." "Go back to Nigeria?" Said, "That's where I will bless you." To cut this long story short, he has personal jet now. Hello? Hello? Elant is the only one making fertilizer in Nigeria. He has a private jet now. Hello? Say personal revelation. Personal revelation. All your struggles, you only need one revelation from the Lord. And that will be the end of it. Personal revelation is the solution to your peculiar, your private problem. Now lift up your right hand and say, "Father, I receive my personal revelation that will solve my problem, that will lift me up, that will place me upon my high heels, that I can stand in my inheritance in Christ and begin to enjoy my birthright. Father, give me personal revelation." Begin to ask the Lord. May the Lord open your eyes. May He open your ears. May He tell you what to do. May you become discernible in the mighty name of Jesus Christ. Every problem you've been struggling with, may the Lord set you free by speaking to your life. It may look stupid, but when you do it, you have solution. You have breakthrough. You have victory. Begin to pray. Begin to pray. You are praying for yourself. You are struggling in your academics, you need personal revelation. You are struggling in your job, you need personal revelation. Somebody is oppressing you, you need personal revelation. Hey, you are confused, you don't know what to do. You need personal revelation, because when God speaks to a situation, it must change. God never speaks and that thing refuses to respond. It cannot happen. He's the Almighty God. Say, "Father, speak to my life. Speak to my life. I need personal revelation." You are never stuck. You are stuck in the ministry. Ministry is not moving forward. You say, you just need a personal revelation. Something God will say to your life or show you and say, "Go do this." And immediately you do it, it works for you. Somebody else can do it and it will not work. But for you, it works, because it is personal revelation, and you are children of God, okay, sons and daughters of Abraham. Personal revelation belongs to you. Hallelujah. Father, thank you. We give you the glory. We bless your name. Thank you, Father. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord, in the almighty name of Jesus Christ. Now, open your eyes. What is the foundation for personal revelation? I said it in this message. What is the foundation for personal revelation? Personal covenant that you enter into by sacrifice. I want to encourage all of you. You have to be spiritually intelligent. You understand? I train my people, when you wake up in the morning, ask God, Daddy, what can I do today to impress you? What can I do today? I'm waiting on you, Lord. What can I do today? I just want to impress you. That is how you warm your heart to the Lord. Am I talking to you? That's how you warm your heart to the Lord. You are always wanting to please him. Lord, what can I do today? You understand? And you look around. You see need in the church. You say, Lord, I want to buy that. You may not even have the money. Say, Lord, please give me the money. Give me the honor. Let me be the person who will provide this. Or a brother has a need. You say, God, bless me to meet the need. You understand? You are just trying to please the Lord. You know, some minister will raise fantastic money on this message. If I say, give you some testimony and say, who will give 100,000 naira? Come out. But no, I don't do that. I want to challenge you. I want your spirit man to respond without anybody prompting you. The Holy Spirit asks you to do it. That's how you grow people. You understand? It is the only way you grow people. So, do not let this month end without giving something substantial to the Lord. It's smart, because by sacrifice, you enter into a personal covenant with the Lord. And personal covenant is the basis of personal revelation. That's what many of us don't know. When you run into trouble, you know, and say, hey, God, deliver me, begin to give. Begin to help the poor. Begin to do all those things. You understand? Don't wait till then. Okay? Because that would be Nigeria's method. Fire brigade. Start now. And begin to ensure your future. Jacob ensured his future. And it worked for him. You understand? He was a very smart guy. He had spiritual intelligence. He knew how to relate with the Lord. And it worked for him. There is somebody here, you are having stomach trouble. I command it to go away right now in the mighty name of Jesus. Father, everybody lift up your hand. Every sickness in the house, I come against you in the almighty name of Jesus Christ. I command you to go in Jesus' name. I decree your healing. I declare it. I command it from the crown of your head to the sole of your feet. Let the Lord set you free. Let the Lord deliver you. Let it be well with you. Let the glory of the Lord be with you. Hallelujah. Okay, quickly, if you are in the house, it was yesterday. If you are still here, you are a twin, but you lost your twin brother or sister. Quickly come out. Because the Lord reminded me again today. I want you to come out. I don't have time. If you don't come out now, if you are in the house, come here. Hallelujah. Okay. Were you here yesterday? You were not here. Okay, come. I will take it. If you were here yesterday and you are a twin that lost your pair, come out. If you are not here, we use him as a point of contact for you. Is somebody coming out? The Lord reminded me again today. So, please stretch your hands at this young man in the mighty name of Jesus Christ. I bless you. I destroy the power of Satan over your life. Those who seek your life will die for your sake. Those who seek your life will die for your sake in the mighty name of Jesus Christ. Father, I will thank you. Father, be highly exalted. I bless you, Lord, over this young man, and I decree He will not die. He will live to declare the works of the Lord. Amen. Okay, God bless you. You can go. If you had a dream that somebody tie you down, okay, come out here. Let me bless you now and set you free right away. Where is the person? I give you 1 minute to come out. Don't come and see me in the office. Do not come and see me, because that's what people do. They now come and say, hey, when you see, I'm sorry, I think it might be me. Say, it might be you. It's all right. Father, I bless the children of the Lord. And there's somebody here, you have toothache, it comes, it goes, deep down. Wave your hands at me if you are the one. Yeah, okay. I command your healing right now in the mighty name of Jesus Christ. I set you free in the almighty name of Jesus Christ. I decree and I declare, the God who sent his only begotten son to die for you set you free in the mighty name of Jesus Christ. Father, I will thank you. Father, I will bless you. Be highly exalted in Jesus' name. There is somebody here, you eat in your dream, and the last time it happened, you feel as if you're actually eating, that you've eaten when you wake up. Okay? My time is up. So, okay, maybe you see me. See me after. And I don't want anybody to see me. Amen. Okay, you will see me in your pastor's office. Okay, see me after. You ate in the dream, but this time it's like you actually eating. Okay, see me, because the Lord will set you free. Hallelujah. Lift up your hands, let me bless you. Father, I release the blessing of Bethel, the encounter of Bethel, the covenant of Bethel, and Lord, the personal covenant, Lord, the base on, you know, the sacrifice. Father, speak to your people. Draw them closer. Strengthen them. Be highly exalted in their lives. And let your name be praised. In Jesus' almighty name we pray. Amen.